But what about our verse? The fourth line of our verse, we've forgotten about that. That says, seeing into one's own nature, seeing one's mind. But according to this particular dialogue or discourse, the mind cannot be seen, because it isn't an object among other objects. So, there's apparently a contradiction. The Buddha says mind can't be seen. The Zen master or Zen patriarch who originated this particular verse says see the mind. So there's a contradiction, apparently. So how is the contradiction to be solved between seeing the mind and not being able to see the mind? Now this brings us, we may say, to what is one of the most profound and also one of the most important Mahayana Buddhist teachings. And it's a teaching which Zen particularly tries to apply and to practice and to realize. It's very short, it's very simple, but it takes a lot of understanding. One sees the mind by not seeing. Whatever one sees, whatever one sees as it were in front of one, is not the mind. So that's not the way. One sees the mind by not seeing the mind. The mind trying to see the mind, one might say, is like the tip of the finger trying to touch itself. You can't do it. If you touch something, what you're touching is not the tip of the finger. It's some external object. So the only way in which the fingertip can, as it were, touch itself, is to withdraw from all external objects and just feel, as it were, its own existence. Its own being, its own reality. So, it's just the same with the mind. You can't, as it were, know the mind by going after the mind, with the mind, as though it was an object just like any other object. If you do that, of course, you'll never find the mind at all. This sort of mistake is what Zen calls using the mind to seek for the mind, and this is quite useless. One might find many minds, empirical mind, ego mind, sense mind, but one doesn't find the true mind, because the true mind, one might say, can be found only by not finding it. If you find it, you haven't found it, you haven't got it. You can find it only by not finding it, then you've really got it. In other words, you can find it only by the realization within oneself of a pure, non-dual, non-discriminating awareness without distinction of subject and object. It's just the same with the question of realizing Buddhahood. We've already seen earlier on that seeing into one's own mind and realizing Buddhahood are really different aspects of the same of a single process. Seeing equals realizing, and mind equals Buddha. So just as it is ridiculous for the mind to try to see the mind, because you're using the mind to search for the mind instead of just having the mind itself. So the more you search, the more you lose. The more you try to find, the more you miss. In the same way, it's really ridiculous for a Buddha to try to realize Buddhahood. In other words, just as it's ridiculous for the mind to go in search of the mind, so it's ridiculous for a Buddha to go in search of Buddhahood. This is just the way to miss it, just the way to get further and further and further away from it. So what Zen says in effect is, just wake up. Wake up. It says, it's a rather dangerous sort of thing to say because people can misunderstand it. It says that whatever you may think yourself now, whatever you may appear to be on the surface, deep down, in the depths of your being, in your ultimate reality, you yourself are mind, absolute mind, ultimate mind, unconditioned mind. You yourself are Buddha. And all that you have to do, with a tremendous effort, as it were, the tremendous jerk, as it were, is simply to wake up to that fact. Not yourself going in search of Buddhahood, because that's using the Buddha to realize the Buddha. And that's just like a man who thinks he's lost himself going in search of himself. Supposing you came up to me and I said, well, where are you going? What are you looking for? And you said, I'm looking for myself. Then what would I say? I'd say, well, you're mad, here you are. What do you want to look for yourself for? But that's what we're doing all the time, using the mind to look for the mind. Using Buddha nature to look for Buddha nature. That sense is just stop it. Don't search, don't try to find, you've got it here and now. Just wake up to that fact, realize that fact, immediately, directly. Of course, it isn't easy to wake up. It's the most difficult thing in the world. It requires a tremendous amount of effort just to wake up. The first thing, of course, that we've got to do is to realize that we're asleep. Most people don't realize that. One might even go so far as to say, it isn't an exaggeration, that you're all asleep, sound asleep. Even as you're sitting here with eyes wide open, minds active, working, listening, thinking, understanding, all sound asleep, as it were. Because not realizing your own mind or your own Buddha nature. So Zen, as it were, is simply a voice saying, wake up. Even Buddhism itself is just a voice saying, as the Buddha says in the Sutta Nipata, get up, wake up. So what happens is that we're sound asleep, perhaps dreaming. We just hear this voice in the distance, just a faint echo, as it were, through our slumbers, saying, wake up, wake up. Just hear Zen, just hear Buddhism, just hear, as it were, the voice of the Buddha. So I've been talking about Zen, in effect saying, wake up, for the last 5 weeks. As far as I know, nobody has woken up yet. Perhaps I haven't woken up myself. Perhaps I'm also just talking, as it were, in my sleep. But when two people are both sleeping, if one of them talks in his sleep, even though he is sleeping, he may wake the other one up. So, in the same way, I hope that my talking about Zen in the course of these 5 talks, even though I may be asleep also, will wake somebody or other up. I sincerely hope so. If that is so, then the time we've spent in the course of the last 5 weeks will not have been wasted.